stop on this train will be...
It's up to you, New York.
Swung on and hit in the air. The deep center. Fetch back. Away back. Yeah. She is gone.
New York.
Hey.
Uh-huh. I'm big young with dreams of fate. Oh, there's nothing you can't do.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for riding with MTA New York City Transit.
This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
What's up? This is the boys of 161st Street coming to you with a very special episode.
Yo!
We announced last week that we had some exciting news, and we are proud and humbled to announce that we are now affiliate of the Bronx Pinstripe Show, so...
Snaps
the Bronx Pinstripes, yeah. And we're in a new scenery now.
Super excited to be a member of the Bronx Pinstripes crew, BP crew. Gonna be going to a lot of events, all that stuff. See you guys there. Excited to meet all of you guys as well. And yeah, that's just exciting news. Got a whole lot to unpack here. There's been a lot of things that have been happening in Major League Baseball in this past week. Yeah, as much as we don't want to talk about the Astros stuff, and I'm trying to avoid it as best as I can, there's nothing really else going on. There is some other stuff we're going to talk about. I mean, yeah, the spring training, all that stuff, but, like, how much can we talk about Gerrit Cole getting his first standing ovation at his first live VP session? Oh, I mean, I'm all for it, but, yeah, we definitely have
to start in a week, so hopefully we'll have some more talk about them.
Yeah. We'll see some real baseball in a week, so by the time we talk to you guys next on Tuesday, we'll be talking about real baseball. But for the time being...
The elephant in the room.
We'll talk about the Astros, obviously. And what better way to start talking about the Astros than with Jim Crane and his stupid comments to start the week. We're going to go in chronological order here. So just to recap you, if you've been living under a rock, here's what happened first. Jim Crane addressing the media.
You know, our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
That is just blasphemy.
And then 15 seconds later saying that, I didn't say that.
I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
I didn't say that. What are you talking about?
They literally asked somebody, I don't have that queued up, but the reporter said, so you just said it didn't impact the game. And it was related to, like, a Yankees comment. So he's like, you mentioned with the Yankees, whatever. And he's like, I didn't say that.
They are the definition of a PR nightmare. Me and Murph, last semester, we took crisis communication. And all we think about is, God, if only we could have taken that class while this was all going on. Because they are the prime example of exactly what not to do.
Cisco would have been all over it.
She would have loved it. Our teacher would have loved it. Oh, we would have came in every class. I would have got $1,000 for extra credit because I would have just wrote an article for fun every week.
Just a perfect example of what
some
not to
point,
do.
At some point, who was the PR person saying, just everybody shut up, or here's a list of 10 things to say and only say these 10 things?
Yeah, no.
It's like they just keep digging deeper and deeper holes.
I love it, though. Thank God, because it's just like it's what they deserve. Yeah, I mean,
one of the things, too, it's just – there was one at one point when Bregman was giving his speech, and he was all prompted up, like he had a stick up his ass, and he just said no more than three words at a time, too. Yeah. Doing the classic, it's just absurd. And there was one point where he looked at Jim Crane. Jim Crane gave him a nod, and he was like, basically, yeah, say it. Like, say it. Like, you're allowed to say it now.
Is it now?
What we rehearsed, say it now. Like, it was so, and that's exactly what it was. It was so rehearsed. It was so, and even since it was rehearsed, it was still bad.
Like 3 months? You got 3 months, that's your best shot.
Literally. Yeah. Literally, that's the only way to put it. You had so much time to make this perfect, and all you can say is, and they're not even, like, apologetic. Like, and I'm even questioning myself, like, had they said anything, like, had they done it right, would we be happy with that? Would I be okay with that? And honestly, probably not. Like, is there a world where we'd ever be like, okay, they handled that well, even if they did handle it really well?
There could be. I mean, it's a territory where, like, we come in and everybody comes in because we're all so pissed off about it that we're looking for something to nitpick. And, like, we're looking for them to slip up and be like, see, they don't fucking mean it. But they literally threw us an alley on that. Like, if you know the media is going to come after you and you know the severity of what you just did, and then you just make it even easier for them, like,
that's what I'm saying.
They are a dumpster fire.
Like, we that's my point. Even if they did do so well, we would find something wrong with them.
So we didn't even have to.
I don't think there is a world where we would be okay with the way they handled anything. However, that doesn't take away from the fact that that was the worst fucking PR dumpster fire
I've seen in my life. I think that if... I know it's kind of different if you're still on the team, but like someone, so like a guy like Jake Mrznek, who I feel like his apology was probably the most sincere.
He was like tearing up,
but he's on the Mets, so it's like it's kind of like he can say it now, and it's not, you know, we get it. He can say it because he's not on the team anymore. So I would be interested to see what everyone's reaction would be like if Correa's interview went a little more like that. Consistently.
Yeah, I mean, Correa's first interview was out of everybody's. It wasn't bad. And then they still, like, the only silver lining they had on that first day was, okay, Altuve, you kind of fucked it. Crane, you bent it over and analed it. And Altuve just shut the fuck up. But Correa and Springer, they weren't that bad the first day. But then Correa comes out the next day and just everything that could have
destroyed the
kind
whole
of
thing.
Been right.
I think
that
one interview destroyed the whole thing.
Yeah,
I mean, everything. It was so much worse. Because the thing that I got pissed about the most, I think, was when Correa said Jim Crane isn't a baseball guy. Did you guys hear him say that?
Mm-hmm.
So he said Jim Crane isn't a baseball guy, so he doesn't know what impacts the game or not. That was like, how do you...
Yeah,
that's an owner of a baseball team.
Yeah.
He's more of a baseball guy than nearly we are.
He's just the owner. He doesn't know what impacts the game. He doesn't know that if I know every pitch is coming, then I'm not going to have an advantage. I'm just like, how is that your go-to response after that?
And
that
even with...
The owner of the Astros doesn't know about what impacts the baseball game, and that's his excuse.
Yeah, like he gets a pass because he's not a baseball guy. And then even with coming from Bellinger's comments, which we'll play Bellinger's comments now.
The apologies were whatever. I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. I mean, these guys were cheating for 3 years. You know, I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17.
Yes, he did.
Amen.
Everyone knows they stole the ring from us. I know personally I lost respect for those guys. I think I would say everyone in the show, in the big leagues, lost respect for those guys. I don't know what human hits a walk-off home run against Aroldis Chapman to send your team to the World Series. And one has the thought to say, don't rip my jersey off. But two, go in the tunnel, change your shirt, and then come out and do your interview. Like, that that makes no sense to me. It makes zero sense to me, because I know me. Gary Sanchez said yesterday, you can rip my shirt off, my pants off. I set my team the World Series off for Aroldis Chapman in the ninth inning at home. You can do, you know, I'm going crazy.
He's 100% right. He's literally all of us right now. And that's the coolest part about this. These baseball players are all feeling this way.
He opened
the floodgates.
But
the only people you see saying shit are the ones that are quote unquote crazy, like Trevor Bauer, and everybody blacklists him for being nuts. And honestly, why don't we take it back to one thing that he did bring up before this, the pine tar for the pitchers? Everyone thought he was the fucking nuts guy in the maybe he's
spin
right.
Spin rate and shit. Yeah.
The spin rate was off the charts, like that strikeout to walk ratio.
I don't
want to
talk about that spin rate.
I know.
No, because we got Garrett Cole.
That's
now,
I know. So, like, that's why.
If we see some spin rate shit go our way, I mean, I'm blind. I don't know what Trevor Bauer is crazy for that.
That's what I'm saying. But like, Trevor Bauer was posed to be this crazy guy, and now he's not so crazy. So that kind of.
And yeah, you needed Belly to come out and say it, because if it's just Bauer and like
it loses
if it's Bauer and the Dodgers and the Yankees, I know Belly's on the Dodgers, but like for Belly, like reigning MVP to come out and say it, that opens the gate. Gary say something, that opens the gate, and then
Trout
like that's a face of baseball. So if he's saying something, then that will be fucked.
Did you see what he said on in his press conference? And he was saying that Astros players literally texted him basically mm-hmm. to apologize. Like, imagine you're that big a goat. Like,
that's clout.
That they apologized to you because it's your sport. Yeah. It's Mike Trout's world and we're all living in it. Like, I'm sorry, they actually apologized to him. He didn't name names. He was fantastic with the media, by the way. Obviously, yeah. He's not involved.
Of course, he is.
He's not involved.
Fucking Trout.
Yeah. And he said at the end of it, he said, would, like, imagine what it would be like if I knew what pitches were coming. He, like, and that's not even, like, cocky. Anyone else says that,
no,
that's
cocky. That'd be a lot of fun.
That'd be a lot of fun. But everybody knows, like, yeah, that'd be fun.
Because, like, the Astros players, when they're in that circumstance, like, they're like, all right, well, Bellinger said something bad, but, like, he's obviously mad. He was on the Dodgers. And Gary Sanchez said, you grew my pants off. But obviously he'd say that. He's on the Yankees. We beat those two teams. And it's like, fuck. If Mike Trout says something, then everybody's going to be on their side. So, like, we got to stop this now.
Now everyone's listening.
Yeah, it's just now cool.
It's cool now that it's literally everybody versus them. Like, I am now an enormous Cody Bellinger fan. I never hated the guy, but I'm Team Bellinger this year, at least this year until the World Series, which in all likelihood, yes, I know it's baseball, but that's probably what's going to happen, hopefully. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I saw some kids of I saw some videos of some kids booing the Astros and Altuve running out of running out to the
field. Did you hear what happened when they first got there? Got to camp, some random fan was banging trash cans behind home plate, and then he dipped.
Wait, was it at their batting practice?
That was at their first BP.
Then he hit the feet. He was out.
They had so many people there, too. They had so many people with cameras and everything. I didn't see that at anybody else's batting practice. Did you?
Nobody cares about anybody but them.
It's just the cheaters, and they want to see if they... If they fucking swing and miss one time, they're like, oh, see?
Yeah.
They didn't know it was coming.
How about the fucking ridiculous tattoo shit?
Oh, with Correa?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I mean, that is just absolutely insane because, first of all, to debunk that a little bit, let's dive into that. The weird tattoo that he's talking about, allegedly his says Melanie, that's his daughter. I was literally going to say, that's his daughter. Like, how is that embarrassing? First of all, it's a name.
Yeah.
Second of all, like, it's not a picture that looks embarrassing.
How bad could it be fucked up?
Like, that's the first thing I had to say about that. Second, why wasn't that said before? Why not went out to, I mean, it's clearly false, and it's going to be proven false later, so, like, why make shit up? I get it, you're heated. No, never mind. I don't get it.
Like I said before, they keep digging deeper holes.
It's reaching.
You'd be better off just saying literally nothing.
We fucked up.
Don't say anything. Just don't say anything.
Yeah,
it looks bad too. That's my point here. What could they have done?
I mean,
nothing.
A lot of things are better.
But any way they do it, they would have been blackballed. But
the thing is though, like the tattoo and his wife would be upset if his jersey was ripped off. Neither of those back up why he went into the dugout to change his shirt.
They said he's shy.
No, but he could have just kept his fucking jersey on.
Oh, did you also, speaking of which, just speaking of shirts, did you also see the new thing that came out?
The undershirt to no
undershirt. To no undershirt. It was the top of the ninth to the bottom of the ninth, and is that bad? I don't know what that carries weight for. I don't know what it means. Maybe he wasn't wearing a buzzer and put it on after. I don't know. What it means?
Someone's
going to
make
some
outlandish comment about that with some sort of analysis.
Yeah. I was hot. Yeah.
I have no analogy about
the shirt was the buzzer.
I don't know what it means, but it's fishy. That's all it is.
Yeah, but again, I think that like the thing that like, the whole thing about why he went into the dugout to change his shirt doesn't support either of the stories that Correa was saying.
No,
you know, there's no
made
correlation.
Up. It's literally made up.
But imagine that, like Correa was like, "Yeah, honestly, the tattoo looked like shit." You say, Altuve, what's a tattoo of? Oh, it's my daughter's name. What?
That's just rude at this point. It's not even about like...
His daughter's probably tight. Yeah. All right, Dad, my name looks like shit. You name me, you asshole.
Yeah, and it was literally just... I mean, his comments were so bad. Like, it stirred the pot. I'll actually play it for you guys right now.
Said before, what doesn't sit well with me is when you say false statements. If you don't know the facts... If you're not informed, this is America, Ken. You can say whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. But Cody Bellinger's job is to look for information, get informed, know the facts for sure before he stands in front of cameras to talk about other players. You should get informed. You should be informed before you talk about other players. If you don't know the facts, then you gotta shut the
Woo! We got some... We got some fucking
yikes.
E news worse up too. In here. This is some Keeping Up with the Kardashians. We got literally like a soap opera on our hands this season. There is now beef between Bellinger and everybody else in the world too. I mean, just everybody hates the Astros, but like him saying "shut the fuck up." I mean, come on. Now you're asking to get thrown at.
Fucking balls to do that after everything that's going on.
He's just so emotional about everything, which I get. I would be emotional if I was involved in this, but I wouldn't take it to that. I don't know.
I see my boy, you.
And just shut the fuck up.
You see Darvish? You see all his comments? He was like, I just don't think that that Correa was in a position to tell him to shut up because he's talking about facts. And like, he was so polite about the whole thing. They rocked him.
Yeah.
Like in the World Series. And Chris Sale, too. I mean, I was watching SportsCenter yesterday, and there was a little segment, and they were like, so we sat down with Chris Sale, and like, I don't know why Chris Sale's their go-to, because the Red Sox are being accused of this, too, but they're like, oh, yeah, Chris Sale made his first postseason start against the Astros in Houston in 2017 and got hammered. And they just, like, ripped him apart. And then he sits down, he's like, yeah, you know, I was throwing great pitches and fastballs at their neck, and they're just going over the fence, and I didn't really know what to make of it. And, like, the fact that they're getting texts, like, everybody, every team that they go to, like, once the Astros pass you, it's just the team that they're playing next just gets flooded with text messages. Just
pass
like,
the torch.
Hey, guys, watch out because they're cheating. And then the first time that a team actually did something about their cheating and the Nationals wore wristbands instead, they win all four games in Houston. Like,
is that what happened?
Yeah.
Oh, they switched to wristbands?
Oh, yeah, and they said that...
I didn't know that.
Who was it? It was Dozier, I think. Dozier was on the Nationals, used to be on the Dodgers. And they said that Dozier, like, got text messages and was like, hey, they are definitely still cheating from, like, ex-Dodgers and Yankees. And, like, they were like, just heads up, they're cheating. And the Nationals switched all their signs and, like, started using wristbands.
Wow.
And then they lose four games at Houston. Like, come on. That's not a coincidence.
Yeah. So, now that we went into those comments, we do still want to go into the comments of Rob Manfred because we think Rob Manfred is the worst fucking commissioner. Or at least I do. I don't know. Your guys' take it. I haven't talked
to you about Silver. That.
But
no, he's...
But one of the comments he made that I don't have queued up, so I'll go into this first, is he said that the MLB players that throw at them will be punished and fined. Like, that, to me, is just so backwards. You can't not punish the players that were involved and then directly punish the player. Like, you didn't do anything about it, so why are you going to punish the people policing the game that you neglected to police? He didn't do anything, so now the players are going to take it into their own hands, which they will, even with this nonsense rules that he's going to try and enforce. But, like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
I disagree there.
I disagree a little bit as well.
I think that it's bad that he didn't punish the players. Don't get me wrong. I think that they definitely should have been. But the two things that I don't know if I completely agree with is, one, like, you kind of do have to... you either don't address it at all, or, like, you do have to put some sort of police on, like, professional baseball players throwing really hard at other professional baseball players.
At the end of the day, it's still player safety. Yeah. And you're still a commissioner of the league.
I'm not saying that. Obviously, yes, I think they're human beings before the game, obviously. I'm not as worried about the game as for their life. Whatever the fuck I'm going to say about that. But, I mean,
I do get what you're saying.
He didn't make a move, didn't make a play, didn't police their actions. So now the reactions by the players are now going to be the thing that he does enforce on. Like that,
for sure.
Him missing the opportunity to punish them because he gave them immunity for giving them the facts that may or may not be true because they, I don't know, whatever. But it just doesn't make sense to me now that you're going to punish the people who weren't involved because you're tainting their game. You're tainting their job. That impacted so many people. That ruined people's careers. Some people may have been pitching during those games. Like, some people may not have ever pitched again. People have lost jobs. Joe Girardi, one of them. Like, who knows? Joe Girardi probably will be the manager right now if the Astros didn't cheat. So all of those people, to be honest, I'm going to stay firm on my statement. I don't give a fuck about their safety because they were the ones cheating. They should not be in that game. Hey, look at the fucking Manchester City penalty. That team wasn't... They're not around for the next 2 years. Everybody's seen that. But they... To debrief that a little bit, they misused their... They broke the financial regulations in whatever soccer league they were in. I'm not a soccer guy, but I know that they broke the rules and they were punished. They're not in the Champions League or whatever for the next 2 years. They can't play. Mm-hmm. That is why I think I'm not upset about playing beanball. I'm okay if they get thrown at because they shouldn't. Because they should not be playing. They should not be. I honestly do believe that if I was commissioner, I wouldn't let them play. And there's actually a really cool thing. This is the last part of this rant that I'll go on. Is I don't think this would happen, but I do think one of the rules that I saw this on Twitter. What the players and other teams, the visiting teams to the Astros should do and would be interesting to see. Whenever you play the Astros, you don't field a team. You do not play. You forfeit the game. That will cause the Astros, yes, to go 81-0 at home, but whatever, because that punishes their financial ability to raise money because they won't sell any tickets to any games. They won't have any fans. They'll lose so much fans, and they literally will not be able to get their main revenue source, which is tickets and selling beer and everything. And me, Damon, everybody who knows, they make a lot of fucking money on beer from us, from anything there. That's an interesting thought. I obviously know that that's not going to happen, but it's just something else needs to be done to try and combat this. And I think the only thing now that's left to happen is play beanball.
I don't know. So here's my kind of take. End of I'm rant. Not going to go as long of a rant, but
that was pent up.
I can see that. And again, I'm not disagreeing with the fact that they should have been punished. I was just saying that we shouldn't be throwing baseballs at their head.
Not their head, like their leg.
I get it. The middle of their back, you know, that fucking still kills. Break something. The shin. And like physical harm is never... you can frighten them, but you know.
The leg that doesn't have a shin guard on it, just aim for that one. Just hit the shin.
No, I mean, I'm saying like, I think they definitely should have been punished. And the players for sure. But I think that the players themselves have done a really good job of taking it into their own hands as well. I think without them speaking out, without Trevor Bauer kind of leading it, and without everyone else speaking their mind and telling them that they're pieces of shit and kind of bringing the entire baseball community together, because, you know, us as fans and us as, you know, reporting stuff, we can say as much as we want. But when you see players to actually start to speak out and speak their minds, that we're all sharing this kind of the same universal thought, it's now really Astros versus the world. And I think that
I love it.
Being humiliated even at spring training by little 10-year-olds, that's tough to see. Yeah.
And you got little league teams.
That's a crazy.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
I think that's a good punishment, because it's now that, what else are you playing for? You're not playing for the people who are watching you anymore because they all don't like you anymore, you know? Yeah. If you're not playing for the league anymore because everyone in the league hates you, you know, and that all started by the players speaking out and voicing their opinions.
Yeah, and I think that, like, Manfred said, I think enough of the punishment is going to be the public's reaction. And, like, yes and no, that's not enough of a punishment, but, yeah, it's going to make it great.
Of course not.
Because social media is prevalent now doesn't mean that's your main form of punishment. If that was back in the day and there was no social media – You're going to still, that's going to be your punishment?
No.
Because that doesn't exist. So
let me ask you this.
Do you do something different if it's in the 80s, you know?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Do you think it would be worse? Let's say hypothetically, Altuve and Correa were, I'll say three biggest names. Altuve, Correa, and Bregman were all suspended for 2 years, right? And they didn't play. They weren't allowed at spring training. They weren't allowed at the games. And we just forgot about them. And then 2 years later, they came back. I don't think anyone would really care. It would just let them back in. They would start playing again, just like how people do with steroids, you know? But the fact that they're continuing to play and they're getting booed and they're getting yelled at and they're getting thrown at and everyone that goes to their games are going to be shit-talking them, I honestly think that might be worse, because that's going to carry on for an entire year and no one's going to forget about that.
That's true. Yeah. And honestly, I do agree with the fact that he's saying the most influential and the harshest form of punishment is this public whatever it is, like the shame from Game of Thrones. But I don't know. I just think that can't be the only form. And I think, I don't know. I personally, to wrap this up on this topic, I think beanball is going to happen. I think the game didn't police itself, so now it's going to have to police itself. I mean, the commissioner didn't police the game, so now the game has to police itself, is what I'm saying. So,
it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Players aren't going to throw it.
All right. Well, then we're not going to be coming. We're not going to reach an agreement here. I think it's going to happen.
I don't see it. Think about it. You're really mad now. All right. Yeah, well,
that's enough of that.
They're not.
We can't predict anything that happened. I think it's going to happen, and we actually have a betting topic in our betting segment to talk about that. But do we even want to go into Rob Manfred's comments?
No, forget it. Right. Let's get into some more baseball that we care about, which is the Yankees.
So hopefully now we can just put that behind us, because that was
proven. I'm not talking about it anymore.
Yeah, that is now the last thing you will hear us talk about the Astros.
No, it's not.
Until the very next thing comes out. Something else is going to come out. We're going to talk about it, but for now, we'll actually have baseball to talk about. So that we'll have other things to talk about. So now, since this is a Yankees podcast and not an Astros podcast, we'll talk a little bit about Yanks. But actually, before, we had some just MLB overall topics. So the MLB Top 100 came out by MLB Network, and I have some issues with it.
I have a lot of issues.
I have a few, but to round out I'll just go with the top 10 right now. So just to give you a little reference, if you haven't seen it, top 10 was Mike Trout, obviously. Then everyone else is just kind of, he's on his island alone. But then Yelich, Bellinger, Betts, Bregman, Rendon, Garrett Cole, Yankee. Did you know he's a Yankee?
I did, yeah.
He's a Yankee now. Cool. DeGrom, Arenado, Lindor, top 10. So of this list, you guys are all looking at it. Is there anything that really strikes you as, like, horrible? Like, there's a few that, to me, I think DJ LeMay, who's getting absolutely no love at 37. Agree or disagree with, I mean, I hope you guys agree with me, because he's at 37. I mean, the man, I think, was number two in MVP voting. Yes, I'm a Yankee fan, but I think he had a better year than Simeon. But anyway, like, I just don't see why, and this is also a right now ranking. So with that being said, I feel like right now he is higher ranked than nearly half these guys that are in front of him. So I just think DJ's getting absolutely no love.
What really sticks out is fucking Anthony Rendon. How are you going to put, especially when they're kind of like the, I'm not going to say a similar position players, but I think they're, you know, either way, like, he can't put Rendon at 6 and LeMahieu at 32 and justify that.
No. I mean, Rendon, yes, he's good. Is he 6? I mean, of this list from people behind him,
Arenado's better than him. Arenado's a lot. Lindor's better.
I'd probably put Story better than him. Even this is some of the back end guys, obviously. Judge, I'll put better than him. Fucking Acuna is better than him. I'll put Javi Baez ahead of him. There's so many people that are better than him. It's just, all right. I mean, anyway, the meat of this argument, why I wanted to bring it up, was that Judge is getting absolutely no respect either. Yeah, actually, round out the other Yankees that are in the top 100, we were well represented. We had Garrett Cole at 7, Aaron Judge at 16. We'll get into that. That's horrible. Then we'll get Gleyber at 31. Then we have DJ at 37. Am I missing any? Where's Chapman's at 75? I think Stan's at 63.
Gary's in there.
Gary's
in the 80s.
80. Seve's at 83. I actually like that. Considering he didn't really pitch at all last year, that's nice to see. Gary's at 80. And I think that's it. I think, honestly, most of them are in the right spots.
This is just such a loose thing. Like, you can't really pinpoint. After it gets top 10 to 15, it gets blurry.
Yeah.
Especially with pitchers. Because, like, you're comparing pitchers to position players. It gets in every position, like, you're talking about a shortstop compared to a right fielder. You're talking about a center fielder compared to a catcher. Yeah, it's like, tough. It's so loose. But, I mean, I could definitely see places where some of our guys could be higher. I think LeMahieu stands out, and I think Judge stands out, as you were saying. I think Judge, I could see him over Acuna. I could see him over Juan Soto.
Freddie Freeman.
Freddie Freeman's just so goddamn consistent.
He's underrated, but, like, Judge, I mean, our friend of the pod, Dan Rourke, went off on Twitter and YouTube, and you guys check out that video he made. But he went through every person that's ranked ahead of him, and I didn't see towards the bottom where the Bregmans and, I mean, the Bregman, Mookie, Bellinger, Yelich, Trout, that's fine. Honestly, 1 through 9, like he I put him probably at 10 in my book, and that's trying to be as unbiased as possible. But what Dan Roark did was go through all of them, its stats and everything, and judge everybody in front of him, Freeman, Scherzer, Verlander, Acuna, Soto, Lindor, all of those, judge beat them in every single category, and it wasn't even funny.
How the hell did he compare him to Scherzer and Verlander?
I don't know. I don't know what he did, but regardless, judge beats them out in nearly every category, and it's gross. And the funniest quote that he said from that, it was like, judge is so underrated, I might throw up. Like, it's just crazy. Judge is getting no love. And I think, obviously, the majority of this ranking comes from him being not, him being injury prone. And that goes back to one of my biggest fears. I hope to God that he plays a full season this season, because I don't know if he has had a full season healthy. And I don't.
Yeah, I think he's
I don't want that to I don't want that to carry around with him, because if he has one more hurt year, we're talking about him not being ever able to field a full season. And then we're getting into his extension. We don't talk about that's down the road.
I mean, obviously, it's been 2 seasons and one's a broken wrist. That's
they're freak injuries.
No, the back, like that's something that could sneak up on you again. It just goes to the
fact that can big guys play baseball? Like that, maybe they get a little ammunition to people who are behind that. Yeah. Regardless, that's the problem I have with that. I mean, Judge is just getting no love. And
all right, so if we do this,
I think Glaber's accurately ranked. 31's good. I'm fine with that.
So I want to hear all three of our top fives right now.
Okay.
What's David, we'll start with you.
I mean, Trout, obviously. And I was looking at something there. Maybe I just came across it, but I'm putting I want to put Mookie at 2.
Wow.
Because I spread a stat. I mean, I was thinking about this a lot, but I also saw a stat that I think it was since 2016 or something? It was 2015 or 2016. He had the second highest WAR, other than Trout. So he has been a consistently great player. And you know, aside from being the Red Sox, I think he's, I mean, awesome. Now he's not the Red Sox anymore. But
yeah, I also think I would put Mookie at 2. And then obviously, I think the top five is relatively similar. Yeah, just mixed
I
don't up. Know.
I think Bellinger's a little high, to be honest with you.
I agree.
I think I'd even put him at, because again, he had a fucking incredible first half of the season. Second half, where he slowed down a lot, and he still won the MVP, but that was largely due to that first half season. And that was kind of the first crazy good season that we've seen out of him. So
he was rookie of the year too.
Yeah, I know too. But I'm saying like
he was the best rookie. Yeah, no, that's different than MVP.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Through for a couple of years and consistently, you know.
I mean, he's also one of the best fielders too. He's phenomenal. Yeah, I know. Plays a bunch of positions. I do agree that he's a little high at 3. I think I would put him at 5.
I'd put him at 5. Yeah,
I'd and put him at 5 as well. So I was going to say,
I mean, the elephant in the room here, Bregman's at 5 on this list. What are we doing?
I'm putting Arenado at 5, if you ask me. Honestly, I'm putting Arenado at 5. Or no, 4. I like Arenado better than Belly too. I would go Trout, Yelich, Mookie, Arenado, Belly.
I think I would go Trout, Mookie, Yelich. I think I might go. It's so hard. I want to throw Cole or DeGrom up there because pitching is so fucking important. But it's like you said, it's hard to compare different positions. But I think I might go Trout, Yelich, Trout, Mookie, Yelich.
Today, Junior.
Bellinger, and I'm gonna go Cole. I think Cole's 5.
Wow.
All right.
I'm saying Trout, Mookie, Yelich. I really want to throw Lindor in there, but I think Lindor is maybe a 6. Arenado, 4, and Bellinger 5. But I really want to pay respect to Lindor. I think he could be up there.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Arenado.
It fluctuates so much.
It's also a right now ranking, so. Yeah. That's why, obviously, I mean, DeGrom, 2-time Cy Young, and then Cole, obviously, coming off a historic year. I think
Let me ask this, because I know this was controversial. Fuller, do you think DeGrom should be higher than Cole?
I think so. I think it's hard. I mean, I don't want to say that, and I hope all our fans don't rip me apart for this, but...
They will. They will.
I mean, it's just, you can't say he's not the best pitcher in baseball right now. And, like, it's just, all bias aside, I want Gerrit Cole more than I want DeGrom. That's based off of other factors. And, like, I think Gerrit Cole with this lineup and, like, the Yankees backing him is going to be better. And I'm sure that went into account, but I'm taking...
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
All right, not necessarily.
That's everybody to you.
No, Fuller, but, I mean, you know what I mean? It's DeGrom, like, back-to-back Cy Youngs.
I don't know.
I agree. I think DeGrom's last 2 years have been better than Cole's, I have to say.
He would have won 150 games in two seasons if he was on any other team than the
stats,
Mets.
Like, there was a stat that say, like, if DeGrom ever got, like, three runs, run support, he's 30-0.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. But that's all we'll talk about. I don't want Mets anyway, fans to think that they matter.
So the next topic I wanted to get into was Brett Gardner filed a restraining order against an obsessed fan. I'm not going to mention her name, but basically the gist was this crazy fan says that she is the future wife of Brett Gardner. Brett Gardner is married. He's happily married, and this woman, I don't know if we want to pull up specific quotes from here, but one of the ones that I thought was really interesting was one thing she said. I request the court. So she also got banned from Yankee Stadium, and Gardner and company are trying to get her banned from every MLB stadium, and she's trying to get access back. So, some of the weird things. Do you remember some of the weird things that she was saying in it?
Yeah, one of my favorites is, you know, here's a direct quote. You know, when he plays, he signals. They have their own signals. First of all, for pitch type and all that. And then there's another thing called romantically and sexually signaling toward me. That is how our relationship has progressed, because he started sexually signaling towards me. From the outfield and from the dugout.
Yeah, and Gardner said and has confirmed by many people that they've never met before.
No.
And she also said she tried to sneak into the visitors clubhouse of Orioles Park at Camden Yards in August to see Gardner, but was subsequently booted from the stadium. She...
and she claims that Gardner makes sad faces when she's not at the games.
Now, she also claims that has a PhD... And she's a biotech entrepreneur.
Yeah, she's selling biotech that stops aging.
Oh my God. And the best part about this is the last quote we're going to read is, I request the court to grant me access to the stadium in accordance with the MLB fan policy. Fine, that may make a little bit of sense if you weren't crazy. And also in accordance with the significant other of MLB player Brett Gardner. So she's trying to get access to the stadium on the grounds that she is the future significant other. She literally says after that, she told the news outlet, I am a Yankees fan and also the future wife of Brett Gardner. and the Yankees have after thing. That since tried to get her the lawsuits thrown out, because she's trying to sue the Yankees for having her banned. And
did we ever confirm that this was the same girl that was all over Pauly D? Or is that different?
Definitely not her.
Somebody DM'd us that, and he said it's similar looking girl, but I don't think it's the same thing.
It is 100% not her.
Another funny thing she said, this is just gold, this whole thing. This is just nonsense. But during the interview, whatever her name is, with NewJersey.com pointed out that Gardner is married to Jessica Clendenin. She then responded to say, that is not of importance.
Like, please disregard that information.
What do you mean? This deranged woman.
That was nice. That was a nice way to start the season. Like, everybody roll up to spring training. Oh, Brett, you have to go back to New York and deal with a lawsuit.
Guardy's got his groupie over here that won't stop flashing.
Of all people on the Yankees, too. Like, like, you got Aaron Judge, the 6'7 beast. You got Giancarlo Stanton made in the lab. You got the 22-year-old, 23, I'm sorry, Glaber. Even
the 36-year-old Brett.
Yeah, the balding Brett. I don't know why I said balding. That man is bald.
He's bald. Bald is bald. 13.
That's past tense bald.
Yeah. And you know who's been on a roll recently? My man Jack Curry. He is just eating up this whole Yankees rival pitchers and catchers, so much so that he felt necessary to just. scare the living shit out of all of us.
He should be banned from Yankees media.
It was just so rude of him. Like, we're living in fear.
And Jack this is Curry, what you say. Jack Curry said, Gerrit Cole had his first crisis of spring training. Parentheses. I'm joking. Actually, he needs some help with the relacing of his glove. So he asked bullpen catcher Radley Haddad for assistance. I will update as needed. Fuck you, Jack Curry.
Nah, that's
I like
the boy.
Jack Curry, but fuck you. Don't do that.
That's just such a sensitive subject right
you
now.
You gave me an aneurysm. Like, we just signed this guy to $324 million. Do not even, like, we're tweeting that out. He's typing this, and he's just
after
got a smile
worst,
across his
the
face.
Worst health scare in Yankees history.
You don't do that. We all that PTSD. Out. You don't do that. Yeah. That's just so
shut
fucked
up. Jack.
Shut Jack. Up, Jack Curry.
Too soon.
Friend
Jack.
Of the pod. Friend of the pod. Shut up, Jack Curry. That's basically all we had to say about that. In terms of other tweets that we saw this week, it's kind of the name of the game here. Just reading the tweets from everything.
Twitter's been on a roll lately. I love it.
Yeah.
It's hot.
So the Nationals put that shit out there, and they said, Dear at Yankees, okay, they don't worry, we finished the fight, which is their slogan of last year, hashtag Valentine's Day 2020, hashtag Natitude. The picture was Juan Soto dropping the bat like he did, love that. Roses are red, pinstripes are blue, we be the Astros in Houston in games 1, 6, 7, and 2. So
I don't think that was a chirp.
I don't know if I love or hate this. I'm not gonna say I don't know. I know I hate this. I think this is a chirp. I think they're low key standing us.
Did you see the Rays one?
No. What did the Rays say?
The Rays one, dude. The Rays put out a Valentine's Day tweet to every team, like every team in the MLB.
And oh, individual.
Like, yes, and they were like, at Red Sox, you knock our socks off. At what did Blue they say Jays, about us? We've always loved you. And it was literally the most sincere, nice message to every team. And then they said to the Yankees, roses are red, violets are blue. The Death Star blew up twice, just to remind you. Because, you know, like, we call our team the Death Star. And it was like, yo, like, you got to see it. It's
right, like, but that's not funny. Even trying to be nice. Like, this is so passive-aggressive. Like, that, I understand. That that's is...
But enough. What the fuck?
That is blatantly being a dick. Like, okay, I get it. We're still going to smoke you by 12 games this season. But, like, the Nationals are being passive-aggressive about it. Like, they're basically saying, you couldn't do it, so we did it. Like...
Yeah.
I think it's definitely, like, with some... With not, I wouldn't say animosity.
It's just that's no, it's nice being passive color. Aggressive. That's,
it's
that's
shit. An SAT I'm a communications right major, damn
it. SAT word.
Say nice word. I don't hear nice words often.
I'm sorry.
I don't hear nice words often.
You have a job.
Tell us about it, Darren. You don't hear nice words often.
No, sophisticated words.
Yeah, no,
we
I don't
appreciate
think that they,
you. We appreciate you, Dave.
There definitely wasn't like ill will in this man. Tweet.
What?
I think that this tweet comes at like, hey, we both hate the Astros. But we beat them.
But it sort of seems like you didn't do it, so we did it.
Yeah, but I think because they did do it, I'll let it slide. That was my thing. I think
it's such more of a cap at the Astros than us. It's just
oh,
like,
of course
we were there.
You're now
we
saying,
were their segue into capping at the Astros.
Yeah,
we were used here. We were used.
I'm not sure if I'm for it.
Like, it'll all be cool if like we win the World Series, then we could say. At
I
Nationals,
mean, they were
we
a fluke.
They did too.
They were a fluke. They did it. It's baseball, whatever. Great. Have you know? I'll give them this.
What do you mean? They don't need you to give them anything.
I gave it to them.
Oh, so now, like they didn't do this. We gave it to them.
I gave it to them.
Right. Lou Gorella gave it to him, Damon. So that's all that we need.
I got it. I wrote it down just in case I forget.
Okay.
Anyway.
But yeah, no, I think that the Rays tweet was just so much worse and so much more rude.
I don't know. That thing is just funny. The Nationals one was passive aggressive, but the Rays one was funny. I like that.
The Rays one wasn't being passive aggressive. Ray was straight up like, fuck you guys.
No, but like, you got to see though. The rest of the shit that the Rays said. Like, I was waiting for them to. They didn't even cap on the Astros. Like, every other team, they were nice to.
Because they have a smart PR department, probably.
They said, probably like,
they
yeah.
said oh, they're getting enough. All right, I think that's
guys.
Enough on that. Do you guys want to get into your betting segments now?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, for those of you who are new to this podcast, we like to bet. We like to watch the Yankees and bet. So, This betting segment doesn't have to necessarily be specifically Yankees. It could be something stupid, silly, like we're going to get into. Gary Sanchez passed ball over unders. But it could be legitimate picks for the week. It could be for the games ahead. We forecast them and stuff like that. So we're going to make our picks and we'll keep a record of everybody, see how we do over time like they do on the Monday Night Football crew and stuff like that. So the first bet that I wanted to go roundtable on this with you guys is Gary Sanchez passed balls this season. So to give a little recap, I haven't set the over-unders yet, but in 2018, he led the league with 18 passed balls. Surprisingly to most people, he cut that in less than half. He, in 2019, had only 7 passed balls, ranking 14th among all catchers, coming from leading the league.
Romine caught a lot.
Romine, that also is a piece of that. But he did play a ton of games. So
yeah.
With that being said, what do we set the line at? I'll set the line to make this impartial. So I'll set the line at, why not, similar to what it was in 2019. So 7.5. Over, under 7.5. What do you guys think?
Saying over.
I'm going to take the over.
Over?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that as much.
Slim Gary. As
I know, but
looks good.
That's less meat to blot the ball.
He looks 152 games.
But he's quicker, though.
Yeah.
I think you're stupid to this take the under.
Keep in mind, though, if you're betting on the fact that over-under. So if he is out for all of the year, you also win.
I'm not assuming that, but
he's not always healthy. So if you're a betting man, which I'm not, That plays into like the under always like that's just
or how about
life's too short to bet the under.
How about we had a good backup catcher and now we don't, so Gary Sanchez will catch more, therefore more opportunities for pass balls.
I mean, I don't think the good backup catcher
just have
was
one
the
bad
reason.
Game and have 3 pass balls.
Yeah, like that'll do it. You know, think about how easy, and he also has to catch Chapman, who just decides to throw the ball to Africa sometimes.
I'm gonna
firmly take the over. I would bet
short.
3 credits on the over.
I am going to 1,000% take the over. Because even if it's maybe it's a wild pitch on the borderline too.
That's a wild pitch.
Pass ball.
That's a wild pitch, not a pass.
But what if it's not though? What if it touches his mitt?
I'm saying what if it's on the borderline and he touches it?
Yep.
Life's too short to bet the under. I'll take the over also.
Just argued
for it. I just changed my mind. I didn't lock it in until now. So I'll take it. Next bet. So the what's called the PECOTA, projections have come out. PECOTA stands for Player Empirical Comparison and Optimization Test Algorithm. Yes, I just read that, just found it out today. I was today years old when I found out what that was. So the PECOTA projections for 2020, the AL East standings have us at 99 and 63. I'll just go by the wins. So we're 99, Rays in second with 87, Red Sox 85, Blue Jays 77, and the Orioles 63. That's kind of high for the Orioles, honestly. What do we think about that? In terms of over-unders, we'll first start with the over-under for our wins at 99. So this is based on algorithms, obviously. So they have us at 99. We had 103 last year with all the injuries. I'm going to take the over. I think this is just conservative, but this is the second highest for all of the teams. I think the Dodgers had 101.
With bias, yeah. I'll take the over.
Yeah, I'm taking the over too because I don't want to contradict anything I said on previous episodes. I've been crazy.
Gotta stay consistent.
Over 103. So
yeah, I'd say
stay consistent.
I think 102 is the number this year.
So also, obviously, we're all gonna pick the over on that. If you pick the under, you're off the pod. But the margin of victory was 12 games over the Rays / company, whoever is behind them, which I think it will be the Rays. Are we thinking that it's 12? Higher, lower, what do we think we win by? We won't make that over-under. We'll just say, what do we win by?
9.
You think it's slimmer?
It's baseball.
I'm there with you. The Rays are a very good team.
Yeah, so I think if we get 103 wins and it's 12, they'll probably have, 91 wins the Rays could get. I think that's totally possible.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the under also. And I think another reason why I'll go with the under is we play each of these teams 19 times. Granted, we're going to go 19-0 against the Orioles. But through and through, I think our division is a lot more competitive. Like, even the Blue Jays, who we actually struggled a lot with last year, they got better.
Every year there's a team.
They got Ryu. They got older. They're going to be better through and through. The Red Sox honestly still aren't. They're not bad whatsoever. They're a great team. They're not going to compete for the AL East, I don't think, against us. But they could. It's baseball. I was talking to Matt today. He's a Red Sox fan. He's still optimistic. He's obviously not as optimistic as he would have been with Mookie Betts. But, you know, they're also a great team. They got Xander and everything like that. I'm not going to talk boost their team anymore. But honestly, I think that's the 99 may be a little more realistic because of that fact. I'm still going to take the over, and I think the under in terms of the AL East gap, too. And I think we're all on the same page, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And the last betting segment I had was for Beanball. You guys have answered the question already, said that you guys don't think it's going to be Beanball. But the question I had for the bet was, when do you think the first Astro gets beamed? So, I mean, what do you
guys think? I think it either happens in the first game or it doesn't happen.
Well, it depends who they play the first game.
And if they play the Dodgers, that's the only player that I will confidently say will hit them is Walker Buehler or Trevor Bauer.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait for Trevor Bauer to play. Yeah,
that's going
to
be an electric.
Where game. Is he now? He's still in the Reds?
He's in the Reds, yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's
Reds
like
love it. To fight. They have Yasiel Puig.
Yeah.
Did I say that correctly that time?
Yeah, you're straight away from Puig.
Puig.
Yeah, I think a couple of them might get thrown at. I think Correa is going to be the first one to get thrown at.
Now it's Correa.
That's why the Dodgers are the only team that I'm like, if the Dodgers play them, they will hit them.
Yeah. Yeah, the Dodgers for sure. I don't think we'll throw at them.
I don't think so either.
I don't think we need to. I think other you're people. Right. Yeah. I think other people do it for us. We don't play them. We play them in. First of all, we play them in Houston early on in the year, not too early on. But the only time we would hit them is when we're at home, and we don't play them until September.
You know what I want? Yeah. I want for like Judge to come out tomorrow because like he's gonna talk to the media tomorrow
and say that was mine.
And he's no, and I want him to just like say something like that's gonna get them really tight and like so bad that they throw at us.
What do you do to Judge? Yeah.
No, like they throw it up. They throw it us, and then somebody just literally rears back and hits them with the hardest pitch ever thrown. That's what I want.
I would.
After we all talked about how we don't condone any violence,
I'm condoning. No, but I want it.
I don't condone violence, but I mean, who am I kidding?
What are you fucking? Let's go. I want this shit. Who better?
I just want them to start it. I just want them to start it. So yeah. That way it's even better.
It looks better on us.
And then we beat the shit out of them.
Who better than us to throw at them? Because if we throw at them, look at the bodies we have. We have Luke Voit, Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge. We just got Gary Sanchez, Chapman's diesel. Nobody talks about that because he wears a fucking.
Canely.
Canely's nuts.
We're missing Betances' height out there.
Yeah, but, you know, Mike Tauchman's a football player out in center field. Brett Gardner's a nutbag.
Yeah, he'd bring a bat.
I'm gonna
could stay right on the side. I feel like he can't fight. But just so many of these guys, I dare them to pick
him. LeMahieu would turn into Doctor Strange. I was saying this. Like if a fight started, LeMahieu would be in the back just, like, doing some spells and shit. Like, no, some puzzles.
Gio would be, like, directing people.
Yeah. Gio, Glaber.
You here, you there. Nah, Glaber would be tight.
Blade would be tight, but I don't want him in it. Tanaka's not involved.
Before we move on, I'm gonna quote this right now. I think that Correa is gonna cleat someone sliding into second base and start a brawl.
I think that's the reason too about the brawls and all this beanball stuff. Everybody, like we were talking about with their press conferences, is looking for something. That, like, and they look at you the wrong way. Oh, what was that? What was that? Yeah. And then everyone just beats the
shit.
And
the tension's gonna be high because it's gonna be a news story.
Oh, when we're headed there, place to place to place to place. If one team didn't throw at them, everybody knows you can cut the tension with a knife. But who's going to do it? You know?
Think about like SportsCenter. Like, they find ways to make baseball matter, and now they have the biggest reason to make baseball matter to like the public. Obviously, baseball matters a lot to us, but you know how like there's the whole argument that like the younger generation's not as interested in baseball. So like they really grab at these stories when they have them. So the first time that the Yankees go to Houston is going to be like, that's going to, like, take over SportsCenter for the morning.
We're going to that game.
Like, no. Yeah. I'm not going to Houston.
Not Houston.
Yes, I will be September. At the one in New York. But I'm 100%. Saying the Houston, like, when we head there, it's going to be for the first time since the cheating scandal came out, the Yankees are headed to Houston. And then the tension is going to be so high that game that I think if something's going to happen between our two teams, it'll either be our first game in Houston or their first game in New York.
And it's or something stupid that sets it off. It's going to be a bat flip or a slide or a look. Or
I hope it's a bat flip. I hope we fucking strike them.
Call. It's going to be something stupid that's going to start a brawl.
Yep, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. So another segment we like to do here is we like to give out an award for the person who pissed you off the most. It may not even, in this case, towards the season, we like to give it to people on the Yankees. But this time,
we'll say it on three. One, two, three. Correa.
Well, I just wanted to introduce the segment first. So the segment's called the Ellsbury Award, because who worse than Jacoby Ellsbury? So that's going to be the name of it going forward. Who do you give the Ellsbury Award to? One, two, three.
It's Correa. Correa.
I'm going to go out.
Brother, this guy stinks!
Because we all said Correa, I'm going to give an honorable mention of mine to Jack Curry because I am a little stitious, not superstitious, as I said before. And how fucking dare you do that to us?
I mean, number one is Carlos Correa, but I'll give a few out, actually. I'll give them out like candy. Jim Crane, fuck you. The Nationals, I'm going to stick firm on that. Fuck you guys.
Rays.
Absolutely the Rays. I was about to say. Yeah. I didn't even know about that. They get the Ellsbury Award for sure. I don't even want to play the soundbite again. But I think the number one guy is definitely 1, 2, 3, Correa.
Or Manfred. Manfred, fuck.
Yeah, and Manfred for calling the World Series trophy a piece of metal.
A dickhead.
The highest honor, the thing everybody's after in
the
your
commissioner's
sport.
Commissioner's trophy. He called it a piece of metal.
It's his trophy.
Get the fuck out of here.
A piece of metal. It's futile. It's futile, though. Anyway, let's get into DMs.
Yo, that look, Fuller.
Fuller was just waiting for that to end. All right. First DM comes to us from Isaac Holderman. He said, what pitcher for the Yanks intentionally throws at the Astros, hopefully Altuve, first? And you guys don't think it's going to happen, but let's play. Let's say they do. Who is going to be the first person? I say Canley. Canley's a fucking nutbag. So I think Canley's the one who's going to throw at him first. And I think the person that they throw at is Correa.
I'm going to go with Garrett Cole. Could you imagine how fun that would be?
Oh, no way.
No, there's no shot in hell, but imagine.
Oh, my God.
That'd be so sick.
I was oblivious for a second there. I forgot he was on the Astros. He's not going to but that'd be nuts.
No, he would never, but that would be so cool.
That'd be nuts.
Oh, I wish CC was still playing because I know he would do it.
If CC was on the team, then he would be an absolute lock.
Yeah. All right, next question comes to us from Greg Lombardo, friend of the pod.
Big friend of the pod.
Who wins in a fight? Judge with a pool noodle or Altuve with a frying pan?
Pool noodle Judge every day of the week.
You know why he wins, though? He wins because, I mean, what good is a frying pan if you can't reach him? Judge has got the range.
Do that thing where you stick the hand out?
Judge would eat a frying pan if he could even land it. I mean,
is it a cast iron, though?
You can have four
if
frying
it's a
pans,
iron,
whatever he wants.
Cast iron is different. Those things are heavy. One swing.
I just don't think he lands one.
He would throw
it. I don't think so either.
He would throw it.
Jump to do that.
He really gets one shot if you think about it. He throws it.
One opportunity.
When that's out of his hands, Judge would make a pool noodle look like a metal bat.
I mean, Judge will just drop the pool noodle. He'll just choke him out with the pool noodle.
That'd be sick.
We'll make a little animation about that. We'll post it on Instagram. Next question comes to us from Billy Justice. What's your go-to stadium beer? We'll just fly through these. There's a few more we got.
I'm the big tall boy Bud Light Lime Can. In the summer, sun's beating down on me. Damon has his little fan spritzing me with water.
Lucky fan, I'm bringing it back.
I'm holding a Bud Light Lime.
Giving me a pants tent right now. My pick. I don't want to say the pick that people are looking for me to say, and it's that Murphy's going to be over there and be pissed at me that I didn't pick Pinstripe Pilsner just because, Yankees. I mean, it's literally, Murph, what kind of beer is that?
What?
Pinstripe Pilsner, what is it actually?
Blue Point.
It's just a regular Blue Point, right? With
Blue
pinstripes on it.
Stadium beer.
Pilsner, but it's by Blue Point.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't have Pinstripe Pilsner money.
Yeah, no, that neither. Yeah, but my pick is going to be Bud Light Orange. Sue me, I love them.
Wait, what's the question?
Go to stadium beer.
Ooh. I'm a big shock top guy. To be honest,
shock top.
Yeah, the shock top oranges.
Bud Light are the same price at Yankee Stadium.
20, obviously the tall boy.
Stella.
It's a good call, Murph. Murph has acknowledged the price.
Yeah, that's definitely that's a good mentor.
That's bang for your buck.
It's gonna be 13 now because we signed Cole.
It's like the that's true. It's like the if you're not Vicky Mendoza diagonal. You got the price to deliciousness ratio.
It's cognitive map.
Yeah,
learn about that in marketing.
Yeah. Next question comes to us from Big Mikey D. Shout out Big Mikey D. Love the question. He said, with all the talk of the proof of the Houston Astros cheating, do you think Girardi would have stayed? We answered this before, and I think abso-fucking-lutely. Because then we don't lose, potentially. We won that won seven games in 2017. So,
if they don't cheat and we win, Girardi probably gets extended, yes, because he would have to.
There's no need. Second there's World no Series. Need to get rid of you.
But if we still lose, there's still a problem with people critiqued his decision making, and then the biggest thing behind Girardi was A, he wanted to get paid like a player, and B, he didn't have great relationships in the clubhouse. So, like, there's still that to take into effect. But I think that that's a great question, and I think that we could be in a completely different world if they didn't cheat.
Yeah, I just think there's no reason to get rid of him.
But also, if they win, though, that you win.
You're not going to let someone go who won
for you.
That's the point, yeah. And even if he would make it to the World Series, so I think at that point he still doesn't get canned.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, but I don't know. I think, again, like you said, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that we weren't really paying attention to that caused that.
Yeah. All right. Next question comes to us from Landon Friedman. Where do you guys see Hicks fitting in when he returns?
I think he's a starter.
Yeah.
I see him playing center field, starting most of the games.
Yeah. Is there any situation where you could see him not be the starter? Like, if any particular player that you think can show out and become a bona fide starter to take his spot?
I think that with his contract extension last year, it's his job to lose, and people would have to do a lot to take it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, unless Gardy's hitting 25 home runs again, and I think right now the way that it's been set up for the last 3 years, I think 3 years ago when we get Clint Frazier, like that Gardner position is like that's Frazier's to take.
And then Gardy's to lose though. Gardy hasn't been beat out for playing time in the last
years. They're giving it to Gardy because they have to, and he keeps proving that it should still be his job. But
he's
like
playing well, yeah.
They're trying to give it. I think that it's like they're setting it up to give to somebody else. And then last year was supposed to be Frazier when Stan and Hicks were hurt. And then Frazier can't do it, and then it's Talkman. And Talkman looked like he could do it. So I think Talkman could put some pressure on.
That's the one I was looking for you guys to say. I think Talkman, if he shows out again this year for a season-length amount of time, I think he's definitely the one that applies pressure. And then you got it might just – the question kind of stems from who will create more of a revolving door, you know? Like, what becomes either – like, I mean, Stan's going to be out there too, like – is there ever a world where he might not be the everyday starter in center field? And honestly, the more I talk about it, the more I say no, because his defense is just too good. I mean, that Hicks catch was just unbelievable.
His arm,
too. Yeah, I think.
Another good question.
Dan, friend of the pod, he had two questions. One of them was, what is your favorite Mario game? Not directly related to baseball, but it could be. It's one
Mario
of the
Party 7.
Seven. Super Smash Bros. Melee.
See, we were all over the place here. Because you said...
Dude, Mario Parties were so lit.
Mario Parties could be the GOAT, but we were talking about this. Huh?
Yeah, I take that back, because that's not really a Mario.
No, it is. Super Smash Bros. Counts.
I don't know. I'm going to say Mario Kart, just because I think it's more
Mario Kart. Mario Kart was the one up there. Mario Kart might take the cake. The only other ones that we were naming, Strikers...
Super Strikers, highly underrated.
And Mario Baseball. This is a fucking baseball podcast.
Well, you could do what the public is expecting of you, or you could give your honest opinion, Lou.
No, but Mario Superstar Sluggers was honestly one of the best games.
All right, so I say, let's play Mario. Are you reaching for Super Sluggers, or are you reaching for Mario Kart?
Are we talking...
It depends on 20 myself.
Are we talking current Luke, or are we talking 13-year-old?
We're talking now.
Right now, I love Birio Kart. Birio Kart's a fun game. For those of you who don't know Birio Kart, you finish a drink. I'm not going to explain the rules, but Birio Kart's fun. You drink a beer, finish a race.
All right.
Current Luke picks Mario Kart. Old Luke picks, Honestly, strikers. Strikers are so fun.
Strikers is such a good
strikers
game.
Strikers is so Murph good. Yeah. Is so good at so strikers. Fun. I hate playing Murph in strikers.
Would be any single living, breathing human being in Super Striker.
Yeah.
Right, it's a whole tournament. Whatever. Let's do it.
We'll live stream it. We'll live stream it on our YouTube.
Go ahead.
Deal? Okay. Final question before we wrap this up. What Dan, also friend of the pod, said, what is your favorite baseball movie?
Good question.
I'm going to go out here with this.
I know,
the best baseball movie is Sandlot, I'd say. But my favorite is Benchwarmers. I know it fucking...
Really?
Credit to credit. I love Benchwarmers, bro.
I'm going
to
go with Moneyball. I just think Moneyball is so cool. I think
I didn't know we were talking about like real movies.
It could be anything.
I was thinking silly.
You could go silly. Major League is kind of... Major League's up there, not 2-1. One was definitely good. Murph, fuck off. Major
Rookie
League.
Of the Year is one of my favorite movies.
Which one? Rookie of the Year?
Rookie of the
I
Year.
Watched that the other day. That made my good. Girlfriend watch it. That's she fell asleep movie. In 20 minutes. But I made her try.
Angels in the Outfield, too. Honorable mention.
Angels in the Outfield was great. Yeah. But the Angels beat the Yankees in that movie. I was tight.
I mean, Moneyball was just so cool, though. Moneyball
yeah,
was
Moneyball is...
Just seeing like, how all that works.
All good quality, good movie, then Moneyball... You know, takes it.
What'd you say, bro?
Bull Durham.
Bull Durham. I've never
Bull
seen that.
Bull Durham.
Oh, you gotta watch Bull Durham.
Bull Durham.
It's good.
What's it about?
It's got, what's his name? The Field of Dreams guy.
But just think about
it. Oh, Field of Dreams, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that's
shit.
That's another. We're playing Field of Dreams
got,
this
what's
year.
What's his name?
The fucking the plane
guy. The plane guy.
No, I mean, the only reason I'm saying Benchwarmers is because there's never been a movie that I've used their quotes so much. Then Benchwarmers. Like, I played baseball a couple years ago, like just in the washed up league, and I actually had the best encounter with a kid ever. I get up to bat. I was a pitcher only, so I don't know what I was doing with a bat in my hands. But I get up and I tap the plate and I hit a foul ball and I go, I ticked it. And he looked at me and he goes, you're still out. And I looked at him and goes, you're still fat.
And was he fat?
No. And then the next foul ball, he got up and we dapped each other up. Like, it was so cool.
So
like,
you just knew.
Yeah.
You
no, knew what it was you were just that. About. We had it. We had it.
You're still out. You're still fat.
It's just think about all the quotes from Benchwarmers. Come
that's
on.
That's so funny. All right. The more we talk about this, the more we sound like we're not even talking about baseball anymore. So I just wanted to thank you guys for listening to the first Bronx Pinstripes presented episode of the Boys of 161st
shout
Street.
Shout out Bronx Pinstripes.
Shout out Bronx Pinstripes.
Big shout out BP Crew.
If
big
you're not shout following out. Them already, go ahead and follow them.
They're probably following them already. They're biggest
that's why I
on
said
the
if
platform.
They're not.
All right, whatever. But make sure you check us out on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe so you can get all new episodes the second they come out. And if you fuck with us, it'd be huge if you could give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. It means a lot to us and pretty much tells us that we're doing good and we want to make more episodes. Sometimes we need a little nudge, but...
Sometimes you do.
Me, whatever. We're on Instagram and Twitter at the 161 Boys. Make sure... I mean, each episode is also uploaded to YouTube. Sorry, I botched that a little bit. And that's at 161st Street Podcast. If you like to see us video of just us bullshitting around like we do, the post to 2-minute clips on Instagram and Twitter, then that's the place to see everything all at once. Yeah, go Yanks.
Go Yanks.
To buy her a few pairs of new airs, cause her baby daddy don't really care. She's so precious with the peer pressure, couldn't afford a car, so she named her daughter Alexis. Yeah, hair so long that it looked like weave. Then she cut it all off, now she look like Eve. And she be dealing with some issues that you can't believe. Single black female addicted to retail as well. And when it falls down, who you gonna call now? Come on, come on. And when it all falls down, man, I promise. I'm so self-conscious. That's why you always see me with at least one of my watches. Rollies and Poshes that drove me crazy. I can't even pronounce nothing past that Versace. Then I spent $400 on this just to be like, nigga, you ain't up on this. And I can't even go to the grocery store without some ones that's clean and a shirt with a team. We live in the American dream, but the people high up got the lowest self-esteem.